And there was a guy from named Teddy Moore, who was a distance runner at the University of Missouri Rolla. And his coach had told him, don't drink water, you'll get sick. And he started to show signs about 6 miles out that he was not doing very good.
Mm-hmm.
But he was still running at a pretty good pace. When he turned off of College Avenue onto Broadway to come down to the finish line, he got about in front of it was the Uptown Theater at that time, which
about 10th Street, right?
Yeah. It was just he just crossed hit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And he collapsed and almost died. Man. He was totally dehydrated. And we had an ambulance pick him up, and they rushed him over to the University Hospital. And they did a saline drip into him for about 4 days. He was there about a week before he was released.
Yeah,
he ran it again the next year.
I bet he drank water.
You got that right, and everybody on that UMR track team drank water too. After that, the coach got outvoted.
Now, one of the things that always fascinates me when you look back, because I can remember my first pair of Nike tennis shoes, my first pair back in. Okay, I'm going to age myself. In the early 80s, mm-hmm. and they had the giant swoosh, and that's when kind of tennis shoes first began to have a science associated with them. What did people run in? I mean, what did the footwear look like back then? Was it anything special?
Well, no, not really. I think they ran in what was comfortable to them. They had an athletic shoe, yeah, but... I look at the shoes that are designed today. They're technological monsters sometimes, they look like, with all these things on them and what have you. And we had very few problems with lower legs or feet, so obviously the shoes worked. I often wonder how much technology is strictly commercial today, because people ran a long time. What was it, about the 1960 Olympics, a guy named Bakila won the 60 Olympics barefooted.
Right.
Right. Well, the foot does what the foot needs to do to carry your body when it's barefooted. There's nothing in its way.
It's the difference, Bill, possibly, that back in the 60s you still had a lot of track runners, and then what was it, really the 70s, the jogging boom started, so you had a lot more people come into the sport who were not, let's say, as biomechanically gifted as those people, and so maybe they're doing better in these kind of shoes on a marathon course.
Oh, sure, you have masses now.
Yeah.
And of course, you've got the introduction of the East Africans into mm-hmm. the sport that mm-hmm. they didn't exist at that time as far as runners were concerned. But
there's still a guy who's run the last few years.
There's been someone that's run barefoot.
Yeah. No, there's a guy out there now who runs the Heart of America Marathon barefoot. Now, you mentioned it. I think one of the reasons this marathon is notorious is because of the hills. And you knew at the time, you said, okay, if we're going down to the riverbank, we have to come back up.
Yeah.
And so you knew, for example, Easley Hill was going to be part of this course. Did that ever trouble you, or were you like, no, this will give it some character?
I used to stand at the top and laugh as they struggled.
That's
Bill.
More than one guy went by me, and he looked at me, and he said, you fat SOB. there's another hill on that course that you really don't recognize as being a toughie. And when you turn off of Route K, and you go about 200 yards on Smith Hatchery Road.
Yes.
And then you start this slow, easy, you think easy. You're fairly fresh at that point, so it doesn't really pull on you like some of the other hills. But that thing is almost a mile long.
Yeah, that's going out. And I think you're right. A lot of people maybe don't realize that there is a pretty good hill there going out, as well as, of course, you have to go up Providence on the way out too, but that's early in the race. The one that always got me, Bill, and I would curse the person who started this race in the first place, is when you get down to where the Devil's Icebox is.
And that's 19 miles.
Yeah, and you look at that hill coming up to, you know, where it comes out by Rockbridge Elementary, and when you're at the Devil's Icebox running at the bottom, it looks like a wall.
Yeah,
that hill coming up there, and that was always the one that got me.
Isn't that about the point that I've talked to people who train for marathons, and they always talk about you will hit the wall.
Yeah.
where you don't think you can take another step.
And it looks like one.
Yeah, it's usually about 20 miles where it happens. That's at 19. And I didn't realize at the time we laid that course out what a major factor that hill is in determining who wins the race. Yeah. The guy will climb that hill and still look in pretty good shape, but it has taken its toll. And by the time he gets over to the stadium and has to climb that hill, he's in trouble.
Now, how many runners do you have now that will run that on an annual basis?